I want to talk to you today about more courage in your life and in uncertain times. And going to Psalm 27, verse 1, I hope you realize this more than ever, that the Lord is your light and salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it? What's the answer to that question?
No.
Say it with me, nobody. And no thing. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? He's your light. He's your revelation. He's your salvation, your soundness. He's your stronghold. He is your protection. Of whom should you be afraid? I want to just begin today by dealing with specifically the spirit of fear. But before I do, you know, if you look around this world right now, there are plenty of reasons for us to be afraid or to feel anxiety. The economy is not at its best. You've got wars and rumors of wars. You've got major storms. You've got famine in different parts of the earth. You've got issues that are really legitimate. But how many know for every real issue, there's a real solution in God? How many remember that greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world? And a lot of people have a lot of different ways of handling that fear. Not all of them are biblical. And because they're not biblical, they find themselves in bondage. It doesn't make a difference if there is war, a bad economy, storms, a bad job market, deficit, or incivility. Look, you have the greater one living on the inside of you. And it's the application of these spiritual principles that keeps you in peace in a very challenging time. Fear has a lot of manifestations. Tim referred to one, anxiety, for example. It has manifestations like worry and dread and panic and different phobias. They don't even have to be rational. They don't have to be based in truth to be something that you deal with. The reality is, the greater one living on the inside of you not only can give you revelation about those manifestations of fear, but help you to understand what they're actually seeking to do. They all have one thing in common. They want to control your life. They want to torment you. They want to limit you. They want to suppress you. Say this again, greater is He than he that is in the world. Who's on the inside of you? The greater one. And listen carefully. You should refuse to be controlled, manipulated by any kind of a spirit. Except for one. And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, some folks don't understand what these different manifestations of fear actually are. So I'm going to break down a couple of them for you. Anxiety is like a garment. When you yield to the spirit of fear, you actually wear that around. That is how you function in this life. It's how you do what you do. Panic is a response to some kind of a fear prompt or intimidation prompt. And some of you have dealt with what they would call anxiety disorder or panic attacks. It's time for you to go free from that in Jesus' name. That is not God's best for your life. And you may have been told you'll be on medication all your life. No, you're going to take the gospels of the Word of God and come off of that in Jesus' name. Because that is not the spirit that you are of. Understand that worry is not just a no big deal thing. It is a big deal. Hold your hands out like this and go, it's a big deal. In fact, when you and I have been called to live by faith and walk in love, so many Christians accept the entrance of worry in their lives like, you know, the world would do. Well, you know, I'm just a worry wart. Or they'll have problems with the guy with the alcohol problem, or problems with the guy who's been a philanderer, or problems with the guy who's a thief, but they're just as bad with their worry problem. Let me get a little more offensive today. Worry is a sin. And it is a sin that we excuse ourselves as Christians because we have cause to worry. You don't have cause to worry. You have a covenant. You have the blood of the Lamb. You have the promises of God. You have no reason to worry whatsoever. Worry is fearful meditation. I'll often, someone will say, I don't really know how to meditate. Or they'll say, I don't know how to walk in faith. And I say, do you worry? Oh, I worry all the time. Then you know how to meditate. You meditate all day long on what's wrong, what's not happening right, what the problems are. It is perpetual. Say it. Worry is perpetual meditation that is fearful. It is constant. And oftentimes, you know, thank God that what we worry about doesn't come to pass. What you don't realize is any manifestation of fear you yield to is permission to the devil to invade your life. Let me try that just one more time, because it needs to have a sledgehammer effect on your life right now. Any manifestation of fear you yield to as a child of God is permission for the devil to enter your life. Fear and faith are opposite forces, but they function the same way. You faith something, you believe it into manifestation. You fear something into manifestation. You operate in faith, you open up the door for God to do amazing things in your life. You walk in fear, you open up the door for the devil to do destructive things in your life. See, we have it all backwards. I've gone through terrible things, and so I'm afraid. What you don't realize is you were afraid before they happened. Your faith is like a homing beacon for the Holy Ghost to operate in your life. Fear is like a homing beacon for the devil to operate in your life. It's time to turn that one off. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I said it's time to turn it off, throw it on the floor, crush it with the bottom of your foot in Jesus' name, because that's where the devil belongs, is under your feet. Can I have an amen? Say, he's under my feet.
He's under my feet.
Dread is another way to describe fear. Dread is, actually, because of the way you think and because of the way you function, you have this mentality that I'm going to actually be afraid of something bad happening. And so what you're doing is, I'm afraid, we joke about this, well, I was afraid that would happen. Well, the reality is there's some truth behind what you just said. You were afraid that was going to happen. There are some things that are a function of this world. We don't live in a bubble, and we have evil people in this world. Can I have an amen? But you and I cannot open up the door to the enemy by not dealing with the fear that might be in our life. Say it with me, no fear here.
No fear.
I mean, if it's not war, then it's famine. If it's not famine, it's the price of bacon. If it's not bacon, it's COVID. If it's not that, it's something. There will always be something trying to get you into fear. Fear is a 24-hour-a-day nemesis. Say dread. When you dread, you basically are afraid that something is going to happen. Oftentimes, people will look at the book of Job and they'll say, oh, poor old Job, I can't believe that God would put him all through, through all that. God didn't put him through that. The devil put him through that. The question is how and why. There are lots of things going on in his heart. Through the discourse eventually with Elihu and God himself, we find out that there was a belief wrong system, there was a confession wrong system, there was fear in his life. We begin to understand that particular book of the Bible. But there is a key to that scripture that explodes all the bad theology out of the room, and that is when he said, that which I feared has come upon me. Say it. That which I have feared has come upon me. That which I have dreaded, that which I was afraid was going to happen, has actually happened. Now you and I should be believing God for the word of God to manifest in our lives, not for dreading something into reality. Now, it's going to take some revelation and some time between you and the Lord to deal with these in your individual life. You know, a lot of folks walk in here with various kinds of phobias, and phobias are targeted areas of your life where the devil has possessed. Now, don't walk out here and say, the pastor told me I was possessed. We live in a day where you have to parse everything and explain everything, or you end up on Facebook by afternoon. Say it with me. There are targeted areas of your life that are occupied, controlled by the enemy. If you are agoraphobic, you're afraid of going outside, leaving your home. You believe something bad will happen. Well, guess what? The devil's not supposed to be controlling your coming and going. The Lord's supposed to be controlling your coming and going. You're supposed to be led of the Spirit of God, not directed by some demon trying to trap you with fear. Amen. Do you know that you have authority over snakes and scorpions?
Yeah.
Ooh, Pastor, I don't like snakes. If you understood this, you'd understand that you have authority over snakes. You're not really afraid of the snake. You're not really afraid of heights. You're not really afraid of water. You're afraid of dying. And as a Christian, you have already been delivered from the fear of death because of what Jesus has done in your life. Besides that, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You can look at fear and say, do your best. Because when I'm done here, beam me up, Scotty. When you truly have been delivered from fear, the devil has absolutely no power over you. That's what happened to the disciples, the apostles, as they were martyred. There was no fear of death there. Do your best, devil. When they left immediately into the presence of God. You and I have the ability to deal with any area the devil has occupied with fear. Think through your life. What are you afraid of? And I understand how this works. I really don't remember all the details of it, but I remember when I was about 5 years old, my mom had a beautician shop in the back of our house. And on TV during the day, the only thing they had were soap operas and a soap opera drama called Dark Shadows. Barnabas Collins. Some of you are too young to have a clue, but just trust me, for a five-year-old, the music and the sights and the sounds and all that stuff. And occasionally, you know, it would come on after something else I was watching, and I started watching it, and I'd run back to the shop where mom was at, no matter who is in the chair she's working on, mom, that bad man's on television again. I had more than a few nightmares as a little kid because of that fear being sown into my life. I was absolutely petrified that my brothers, for example, God bless them. But when you're the youngest, you go through some things that the other ones don't go through. Are you here today? And so somewhere along the line, one or both of them sowed the seed that one day my parents just picked me up on a corner and brought me home like a stray dog. So one morning, my dad says, hey, I want you to go to Grandpa John's with him. It was a small version of Walmart here in Illinois. And I thought, he never asked me to go with him. Oh, no. I was always my mom's shopping buddy. Does that make sense? She was so short, you'd lose her in the aisles. But you just look for the boofoo hairdo, the blonde hair above, and you can find her again. So really strange that he would ask that. So in my five-year-old mind, this is it. He's going to take me to the store and leave me there. Absolutely petrified. And in life, the devil has a way of sowing things into your life that you're afraid of. And so you have to realize that everybody's been through something like that, but you can't let it have dominion over your life. Amen. Say it with me. I don't have a spirit of fear. Turn to somebody and smile at them and say, you don't have a spirit of fear. Glory to God. Dark shadows. The stuff they put out today makes Dark Shadows look like an edifying Barney episode. Amen. Glory to God. I was about the same age at the height of the Vietnam War. And, the media, God bless their souls, they have lost their soul a long time ago. It used to be a high calling to be a journalist. And if that's your aspiration, God bless you, but don't you sell out if you do. Medicine is supposed to be a calling. The preaching of the gospel is supposed to be a calling. Journalism is supposed to be a calling. And done right, there's an anointing there. There's supposed to be truth tellers. But as long as I've been alive, the national media, the mainstream media, has used their platform to manipulate public opinion instead of just report what's going on. So I'm sitting there as a five-year-old, and every night on the television set would come these pictures of Vietnam and bombs going off and body bags. And every night they had to give the body count because they were trying to intentionally turn the opinion away from something. Now, good or bad, right or wrong, that's the reality. That's our history as a nation. But I'm sitting there as a five-year-old thinking, this is around, 1969, that I'm going to grow up, I'm going to get drafted, they're going to stick me in the jungle. I'm going to get killed and come home in a body bag myself. Not realizing the thing was about to wrap up. But the reality is, those things are sown into your life. But what happens is, when you get right with God, you have the ability to push those things out of your life. Amen? And then I got bigger as a kid, and I learned how to torment my brothers like they torment me. So it all was fair. Amen? But you begin to push these things out. And as a believer, you have the tools to do that.
That's right.
Now, how you deal with fear is just as important as identifying those things that have taken over your life. Say it with me, phobias. Whatever you have a phobia in, that is an occupied area of your life, and Jesus is Lord over your life.
Amen.
Say it with me, fear is not Lord of my life. Come on, shout it out. Fear is not, cannot, will not be Lord over my life. No matter what it is. I have a fear of flying. You don't have a fear of flying. You have a fear of crashing.
Yeah, right.
You ought to be free to do and be whatever God has called you to do and be. Say it with me. Fear free.
Fear free.
Come on, shout it out. Fear free.
Fear free.
Shout it out. No fear here.
No fear here.
No fear here. Where? In your own life. And some folks just, they kind of, get into denial, I'm not afraid or whatever, or they make excuses for it. Everybody's like this. Everybody has fears. Everybody has phobias. You are a creature that never existed until you got born again. You are not like everybody else.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You are not like everybody else.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, I realized that about you a long time ago. You're not like everybody else. So we don't live with the same standard as the world putting up with this stuff. Because what will happen is the fear will mold your steps. The fear will manipulate you. The fear will keep you from doing what God's called you to do. The fear will push you, will lead you, will guide you, will direct you, will be a false lord in your life. And you can't afford that, especially in these last days. You need to be discerning in these last days. You need to be able by the Holy Ghost to tell what is true from what is false. And recognize the spirit of fear. And just don't make excuses for it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend. Don't get into denial about it. And don't try to deal with things in the natural. Well, I can beat this. No, it's a spirit. Come on, say it with me. Fear is a spirit. You have to deal with spirits in a what? Spiritual way. I was talking to the 212 college students a couple weeks ago, and I was telling them about G. Gordon Liddy, and this guy was one of Nixon's inner core, one of the ones involved in the Watergate break-in back in, early 70s. And he was an interesting fella, kind of strange. And he writes in his own memoir that he was afraid of certain things. And so what he would do is he would attack them in the natural. For example, he was afraid of rats. So he caught a big old fat one, cooked it, and ate it. And then he was no longer afraid of rats. Now, I don't know about you, but I just prefer to get right with God and walk in my authority rather than eating the rat. See what happens when you operate in fear? The guy was a little nutty. It makes you wonder how he even got in that position in the first place. He was afraid of lightning. Think about a good old West Kentucky lightning storm. I sat down at Jasmine with Kelly one evening for a nice meal. And all of a sudden, I got this phone call with Mom. M-O-M on the iPhone. Maybe I should change that name on the iPhone. And she was just terrified. The house is on fire. The house is on fire. I heard a big crash. The house is on fire. And what had happened was we had this beautiful old oak tree. It must have been 100-something years old. It looked perfect on the outside. Lightning had hit that, and the storm had blown it onto the house. It literally crashed on top of the house, and that's what she heard. Good old fashioned. He was terrified of lightning. Some of you are too. Amen. Do you know that there's a there's a spiritual app for that? So he ties himself to a big tree in the middle of a huge storm. And like you can imagine, lightning hit that specific tree. And he writes, I was no longer afraid of lightning. No, maybe you're not afraid of the rats, and maybe you're not afraid of lightning, but you got a head problem, mister. You need to see somebody. You need deliverance. That's not the way we handle this. Say, well, that's not the way we handle it. When you have an active fear in your life, it's an area that the devil is dominating and occupying. You cannot afford the devil occupying any area of your life. It's not possession, it's influence, it's domination, it's control, it's intimidation, and that is not the job of the devil in your life. Amen. Now go with me over to 2 Timothy for a minute and put your eyes on this scripture. And do more than just confess it. When you found it, say a good amen.
Amen.
I may enjoy Paul's writings to Timothy and Titus. They are a blessing. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And I want you to see that, you know, nobody's really immune from the devil trying to do a number on them. So there's no reason for you to walk out of here and say, well, Pastor identified me and I must be a real loser. No, you're perfectly normal. If you're a child of God and you're going to do anything in these last days for God, you're a target of the enemy. And a choice weapon is the weapon of fear. Timothy, according to where Rick Renner and several other sources believe that he pastored the largest church in the early church years. Hundreds of thousands of people at the church at Ephesus. And you can imagine the things that he went through not being all that old as well. He was old in the Lord, but he was not all that chronologically old. And the scripture says this in verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. What he was facing was pressure on the outside, pressure on the inside. And because of persecution, people were bailing on the fellowship left and right. Because of what? They're afraid of being persecuted. Almost every person that allows themselves to be pushed off their assignment, pushed out of their church, pushed out of their fellowship, does it because of some fear manifesting in their life. They're afraid of missing out, afraid of something that's not right in their life. And Timothy was prone to this same kind of a fear. Hey, what's the point? You know, everything's bad. Nothing's good. They're threatening me. They want to do to me what they've done to you and done to others. And basically, Paul's saying, God hasn't given you, say, God hadn't given me,
a spirit
of fear. Right there, he identifies what it is. Say it with me. It is a spirit. Come on, shout it out. It is a spirit. And you can't deal with the spirit the same way you deal with natural things because it doesn't have a natural origin. I know what the world says. I know what even some so-called Christians and religious leaders say. Oh, there's no hell. There's no devil. That's a personification of evil. There's no real hell. Listen, I just believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
There's a God. There's a devil. There's a heaven. There's a hell. And there is an evil one who is manipulating not just people, but people who love God because they don't understand the nature of this. And one of his choice weapons to run, to control, to manipulate is fear. And it's not just people who sit in the pews or people who work, you know, non-fivefold ministry gift jobs. They're involved in other things in the community. It's not just people like that. No matter who you are, you're a target of the devil for some kind of fear. But you need to know up front, God didn't give you that spirit of fear. What did he give you? A spirit of power. Say it, a spirit of power and of love and what? And a sound mind. Say it, a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. In other words, hey, Timothy, that's not the spirit that you are of. That's not the spirit that controls you, that manipulates you. That's not the one that leads you. That is not of God. Spirit of power. Remember this. Didn't Jesus tell them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high? Say it, with power. It's a spirit of power. If, in fact, you're operating in fear, it's an indicator your power meter is down. But can you do something about that? Yeah, if you're spirit-filled, and I hope you are, you have a prayer language. You have the ability to speak in tongues. You can jack that power up anytime you want to. And if you're not doing it, it's because you just choose not to. You don't realize that you can drive out that fear by praying in the Holy Ghost. Say it with me. I have a spirit of power. And when I have a spirit of power, I deal with that spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, but a spirit of power and what? And of love. Did y'all not sing about God's love for you today?
Yeah.
Did you not hear a tongue and interpretation about the love of God he has for you?
Yes.
There comes a time and you have to really believe the love God has for you, walk in love towards other people, but believe the love that God has for you enough that it's going to push out that fear, because the scripture says by the Apostle John, perfect love casts out all fear. Watch this, that word cast, lambano, to mean suddenly, immediately fling away from you as fast as you can. That's what happens when you meditate on the love of God. You're facing some kind of fear or problem, intimidation. You begin to recite the fact that God loves you. All the love scriptures, for God so loved me that he gave me Jesus. Amen. While I was yet a sinner, Jesus died for me. Amen. And if that doesn't work, go back to what you learned in pre-K or learned in your first vacation Bible school. Jesus loves me, this I know. And you just thought that was first grade. That wasn't first grade. That was a PhD in the love of God. You just didn't know it. Say it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For what? For the, all going to throw the Bible in there, Pastor? Yes, for the Bible tells me. So don't feel it. Sometimes he loves me. Didn't ask you if you felt it. It's a decision to believe the love, which is what Scripture teaches us to do. Say, I believe the love. So I've got the Holy Ghost operating in my life in power, driving fear out. I've got the love of God, amen, operating in my life to deal with that fear. And number three, I have the what? A sound mind. Raise your hand, say, I could use that. Write this down. It means whole, healthy, functioning the way God designed it. Write this down. Restored, renewed. And we all know how to do that. Romans 12 tells us, do not be conformed to this world's way of thinking. In other words, J.B. Phillips said, don't be what? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And say that with me. My mind does not stay renewed anymore than my hair stays combed. Who's responsible to do this? That's what Sunday morning's for. Yeah, I'm going to renew your complete mind in 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. No. You renew it by saturating, by immersing yourself in the Word of God. So here's the deal. Makes no difference what the phobia is, what you're worried about, what you're dreading about, what kind of anxiety or panic you have. If anything is going on in your life right now, it doesn't help you to medicate. It doesn't solve the issue. It doesn't help you just to pretend it's not there. It doesn't help you to say, well, everybody's afraid of something, and take the natural humanistic approach. It doesn't help you to deal with these things. God is not interested in you maintaining. God is interested in you being delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. Set free from this once and for all. Some of you have a terrible fear of loss, of losing something. You dread losing something or someone. You put them in the hands of God. You trust Him with that situation. All this means is that verse, which is absolutely pregnant with spiritual importance and meaning, the presence of that spirit of fear, all it means is that you are not operating in the power of God as you could. You are not believing and acting on the love of God like you could, and you're not renewing your mind like you could. Say it, sound mind.
Sound mind.
Power of God.
Power.
Say it, sound mind.
Sound mind.
Power of God.
Power of God.
Love of God.
Love of God.
Power of God.
Power of God.
Love of God.
Love of God.
Sound mind.
Sound mind.
What'll happen is you'll have one of these or the other. You either have a spirit of fear or you will have what? Sound mind, amen, the love of God operating in your life, and you in fact will have the power of God in your life. But you won't have both. So how many of you say it honestly today, some days you don't seem to have anything but fear operating in your life. You know what the cure is for that.
Amen.
Amen. Shout it out, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Come on, shout it in. God has not given me. Well, if God hasn't given it to you, then who did? Where'd it come from? Anybody here, you like getting presents from the devil? Now it's time to say return to sender. Shout it out, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You need more of His Holy Ghost. You need more meditation on the love of God. You need more renewing of your mind when you feel this thing trying to come back on you. That's the key. God would have you live a fear-free life. That's just not possible, Pastor. I just can't do that. It's like telling somebody, you know what? You can live a sin-free life. They go, what? The Apostle Paul said, let not sin, what? Reign in your mortal body to obey, what? The lusts thereof. The desires, the dictates, the drives thereof. Now, before you were born again, that wasn't possible. Because the sin force was driving you to sin. When you got saved, and raise your hand if you got saved. Raise your hand if you know Him. You are now righteous. You have the force of righteousness in your life. What happens now is that force of righteousness is pushing you to do right. So when a Christian sins, I didn't say Christians don't sin. And when you do sin, aren't you glad you have an advocate?
Yes.
You confess your sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'm just simply saying that you never sin without your cooperation.
That's right.
You sin because you chose to sin. You stay in fear because you choose to stay in fear. Now, that's for those perpetual things, those long-standing things. How many believe that God can set you free today?
Yes.
And how many know if He sets you free today, He wants you to stay free? Come on, cry out to God and say, Lord, set me free.
Lord, set me free.
And cause me to stay free.
And cause me to stay free.
But one of the most amazing things the Lord showed me in the past several years, whether it's some kind of dread or some kind of fearful thought or some kind of phobia or unexplained anxiety or a sense of panic going on in people's lives, there's a natural approach to this and there's a spiritual approach to this. How many still believe that you have authority as a child of God?
Yes.
you don't deal with a spirit in a natural way. And the way you deal with this thing is by identifying it and taking your authority over it just as soon as that thing comes on you.
Amen.
Now imagine David here, and I don't think that he does, but all of a sudden he's prone to being in certain environments, and all of a sudden he gets panicky. Some of you are like that in elevators. And look, you survived, didn't you? Some people are claustrophobic and things like MRI machines are just an enclosure that feels like a coffin to them. And I don't personally know anybody that ever went in for MRI that came out dead. I just don't. So it doesn't even have to be rational, does it? Right? So just for no reason, he steps onto an elevator, and then all of a sudden there's this thing on him and causing and desiring to panic and to lose control and possibly hyperventilate or somehow, you know, manifest what that thing is like. Most people will sit there and try to mentally attack that thing. The elevator door is going to open. Say it with me, the elevator door is going to open. It's not going to drop to the bottom. The cables are not going to break. The secondary system works. But that doesn't matter because you're not dealing with anything that responds to your thought life. It is a renewed mind that allows you to do what I'm talking about today. And if you do this, I promise you, you will start seeing victory after victory after victory, whatever the phobia, the dread, the worry is. You say it works with worry too? Yeah, if you'll work instead of petting your worry. Nice worry. Worried about the food, worried about the house, worried about the clothes, worried about this, worried about that. Stop petting your worry and start dealing with it. At that moment, what he needs to do is open up his mouth and say boldly, "You are a spirit, and I have authority over you in Jesus' name." By identifying it, you have already removed its protection. Say it with me. You are a spirit, and I take authority over you. Say it with me. I know what you are. At that moment, it has no place to hide. It's been identified and dealt with. And you will find supernaturally, that thing would lift off of his life if he would just do it. Now, the reason you don't try to think this thing away, it's because when you say something, your mind will stop to listen to what your mouth has to say. And what you're saying is, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm in a room right now of people who've dealt with anxiety for years. Hallelujah. You got panic attacks going on. You have unexplainable fears and phobias going on. That is the devil trying to limit your life, and you are going free in Jesus' name.
All right.
I said you're going free in Jesus' name. When you are dealing with that, don't try to think that thing away. Everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. The elevator's not going to kill me. The elevator's not going to kill me. The MRI machine's not going to kill me. Some of y'all get onto a packed airplane, and that's worse than the actual flight. Some of y'all have a fear of people. Understood. Makes perfect sense. It's not all fears are irrational. You can sit there with your mind all day long and not get any victory whatsoever. Or you can say with your mouth, "You are a spirit." And now you've been identified. You've been exposed. I resist you according to the word of God, and you have to flee. You'd be amazed how fast that thing will lift off your life. Dealing with it with the tools that you have. Say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say it. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't try to think it away. Don't try to rehearse it away. Open up your mouth. Come on, shout it out. You are a spirit. I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind in Jesus' name. I want you to stand and just jump up to your feet right now. And if you're dealing with a spirit of fear, jump out of your seat. Jump. I mean, don't sit there and finagle. Don't sit there. Jump and come into this altar right now. Jump out of your seat and come into this altar. You're going free in Jesus' name. Afraid of finances, afraid of dying, afraid of this, afraid of that. This is your last day in Jesus' name. Thank you for your victory, Father. Thank you for your victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, my Father. Come on, let's give Him a praise offering. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let's thank Him today. We worship You, Lord. We praise Your holy name. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Come on here onto the carpet, the surface, and just bring your expector with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, does everybody down here have in mind what that strongest fear is? You just nod your head at me. I don't want you to confess it. Amen? You know exactly what it is? Okay? Amen. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So we no longer give permission for this thing to dominate your life. Amen? Thank you, my Father. We bless your holy name. Say it, I have spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. I will ask you this with a raised hand. You're in this altar area. How many would say that fear is pretty irrational when you just stop and think about it? Did you agree with that? Pretty irrational? Okay. I want you in the congregation just to stretch your hands towards the east today. Thank you, Father. And you that are in this altar, just lift your hands up before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And instead of Paul kind of petting Timothy and say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. He dealt with it. You don't have that. You are not of that spirit. You have a different thing operating in your life. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name today. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Father. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you, Lord, for a sound mind. Thank you, my Father. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. You're in this altar. Just begin to thank Him out loud. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. And Heavenly Father, we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ over this house, over every individual in this altar today. And there is no area of their lives where the devil is permitted to occupy. And the area where the phobia is, the fear is, the worry is, that is the area that they occupy. So we drive you out in Jesus' name. And we command you to loose your hold on God's property and God's people. In Jesus' name, you have no right, no authority to be there. We identify you for what you are. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You are a spirit, and we call you out today in Jesus' name. You come off of them in Jesus' name. Panic, you have to go. Anxiety, you have to go. Worry, you have to go. Dread, you have to go. Phobia, you have to go. I have been delivered from the master fear of death. I am delivered from fear in Jesus' name. We call you out. Now you're in this altar. Call it out. Say, I know you are a spirit. You are a spirit. And I have authority over you. I declare right now, I am delivered from a spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Shout it out. No fear here. In Jesus' name. Come on, celebrate it and thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. You know that when somebody has got a serious sickness or disease, they may travel across several states to find the right person, spending money and time and effort. Don't mind going to the nth degree to be sound and whole. What I'm telling you is going to make you sound weird to some people around you. I'm asking you to put your spiritual welfare above your need for a reputation. Amen. Wherever you are, the moment this starts to happen, you open up your mouth. You don't have to be, you know, a big boisterous to make a scene, but use your mouth and say, you are a spirit. And you have no authority over my life. I am telling you right now, the moment you identify that thing with your mouth, it's the one that's intimidated. When you're in the car with your family, open up your mouth. Well, then they'll know I'm in a battle. They're not going to know anything but that you're taking authority over that thing in Jesus' name. You're sitting in your cubby at work and all of a sudden it tries to come on you. You are a spirit. Your supervisor comes by and says, you talking to me? You can't be thinking that way. Your wholeness and soundness is too important. And nobody can do this for you. It's like nobody can take your medicine for you. Nobody can deal with this. What I'm telling you is, you're not of that spirit. Amen? Cultivate yourself in these things. Every day, ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. Every single day. Every single day, walk in more revelation of the love of God. Every single day, keep your mind renewed. And when that thing shows up in your bedroom, shows up, you know, in your restroom, shows up, you know, at work, shows up in your car, shows up even in your church trying to sit here and the devil's trying to come on you, you open up your mouth. Be willing to look a little crazy. To be sound. Amen. Say it one more time. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, shout it out. You are a spirit, and I drive you out in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. Don't sit there and try to fight this thing for the first hour and then remember what you've been taught. Deal with it instantly. Amen. Don't be petting the worries. Don't be petting the fears. Don't be trying to fight them with your mind. Don't try to rationalize them away. You open up your mouth. Say it with me. My mouth is the seat of my authority. I can have what I say. Let me just help you out here. Demons do not respond to believers' thoughts. They respond to the believers' words. Jesus drove out the devil with a word. He didn't think him away. Get this down deep on the inside of you. What you going to do when panic tries to come on you? I hear the Holy Ghost saying, there's some folks in this room and not all of them in this altar. But you're going to get such victory. Next time you go to the doctor and they ask you for a prescription, you're going to say, I just don't need that anymore. And it won't be one of those things where you're just faith in it. It's the faith reality in your life.
Amen.
Amen. See, you've got to be free to do anything, go anywhere, say anything, be anything God's called you to be. Amen. Fear has no place in your life in Jesus' name. Say it with me, I'm a free person.
I'm a free person.
Say, I am a free person. Shout out, I am free. I am free.
I am
Come
free.
On, worship with us. Thank you, Father.
Free.